David Starrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, The Films, The Blackening, T.S. Eliot's Four Quartets, and Clean.
This week, I would like to talk about a couple of documentaries, nonfiction films, as they're sometimes called. And I want to start with a movie that is anything but that, which is a very fictional movie. At least I certainly hope it is. And a pretty wild ride at that, a movie called The Blackening. As the title may suggest, this is a movie with an almost all-black cast, and this in itself is extremely refreshing to see. Of course, Hollywood has been really trying to diversify in recent years, still has, in my personal opinion, a long way to go. But here we have a movie which is directed by Tim Story, who is a black director, and again has an almost all-black cast, and it certainly has a story which deals very much with being black, as the title The Blackening might possibly suggest. So here is what the movie is about. And by the way, this is a comedy horror movie. Those two categories that shouldn't really go together. Horror should be horrific and comedy should be funny, but there certainly are some fine comedy horror movies made over the years. Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein is one of them. And What We Do in the Shadows is one of them. And now we have The Blackening, very different from those. But anyway, so what we have here is a group of black people, young black people, seven of them, who go away to have just a vacation in a cabin in the woods. Right, there's a warning sign, a cabin in the woods in the movies. They go off and they're going to have a nice time and they're just going to hang out. And they're just going to do the things they like to do. And, you know, we learn at the beginning of the movie, you know, there's a little bit of rivalry going on. One of them, her ex is there and her new boyfriend might like that and so forth. But basically, we have seven people who get along pretty well and like each other. And they're really looking forward to this vacation. The first two who arrive, however, discover a room with a sign on it saying game rooms. Oh, let's check out the game room. And this is sort of a little bit out of the way. It's not in the main part. It's a very nice cabin, by the way. It's not one of those little tiny places. Pretty posh vacation place. So they go into the game room and they open up this box and there's a game in there. And the game is The Blackening. And what's the first thing you have to notice about this is that the little sort of insignia of the game, right in the middle of the game board, is this horrible, old-fashioned racial stereotype image, a real caricature of a black face. Just awful, sort of shocking to see in this day and age. And yes, the two characters are sort of shocked. They're even more shocked when this sort of insignia, this stereotypical black caricature, starts talking to them. And it says that they are going to have to play a game now, and they're going to have to answer questions, and if they don't answer the questions correctly, they will suffer horribly and die. So we never quite find out at this moment what has happened to these two. We find out much later in the movie what has happened to them. In the meanwhile, all the other friends arrive, and they get settled in, and they're having a nice time, and yes, of course, eventually they discover the game room, and the whole thing starts again, and they have to answer questions, and the questions are sometimes, first question, really, really easy. And then the questions get more difficult. And the condition is they are told they have to play or they will start to die. And if they get the questions, there's going to be 10 questions. If they get the questions wrong, they will die. And also their friends who are already imprisoned by whoever is doing this will die. So I'm not going to give away how all this plays out. It does turn out that racism is very, very much involved. Racist white people are very much involved, but not only racist white people are behind this whole thing. And eventually the movie turns into sort of an action movie and people are running around and the killings are being committed with a crossbow. So there's a lot of dodging arrows and all this sort of thing. And that's the kind of movie making that interests me the least. The kind of thing that just involves a sort of a lot of running and jumping around. And I don't think it's very cleverly done. What is fairly clever is the basic premise of the movie, this horrifying game. And of course, the whole movie is premised on what's a cliche, but it's one of those cliches that has some truth to it, which is that traditionally in the movies, the black character dies first. And in fact, the tagline for this movie, The Blackening, is, "We can't all die first." And I will give away as much to say that, yes, there definitely are survivors at the end of the movie, even though pretty much all the characters are black. So movie's got a good cast. It's very lively. I have to say, in a couple of ways, this movie isn't exactly for my demographic. I am a white senior citizen, and this movie will be appreciated, I'm sure, the most by black audiences. Not only, I'm sure that many, many white people will have a wonderful time watching this movie, but I think it is aimed primarily at black audiences. And also, it's a movie which is aimed largely at young people. That's the other demographic that I'm afraid I am no longer in that case. And so, you know, the characters are young adults, and they have the kind of problems and personalities that young adults have and like to look at in the movies. So with all those caveats, that this movie, I think, is made primarily for other demographics, I will say that even for me, this old white dude, it had its moments. And it has a terrific cast, and it's very lively and full of action, and you know, it has some laughs. So I think The Black is a movie that a whole lot of people of all different races will enjoy, and I'm glad it's out there because it certainly shows that Hollywood is continuing in its efforts to diversify. So now let's move on to the documentaries that I hinted at earlier. And the first one, this couldn't be more different from The Blackening. You know, The Blackening is, whatever else it is, it's a fun movie. Of course, it's full of violence and people die and so forth, but it's a movie that's made there to merely entertain the audience and maybe make them think a tiny bit. Four Quartets is a movie which is all about thinking. And the original title is T.S. Eliot's Four Quartets, because this is a movie which is not only based on, but actually is T.S. Eliot's famous poems, Four Quartets, which were written out, by the way, for anybody not familiar with the name T.S. Eliot, one of the most important poets of the 20th century, arguably the most important poet in the English language of the entire 20th century. Some would probably argue the most important poet in the English language since maybe William Shakespeare. In any case, T.S. Eliot, enormously important poet, known for poems like The Wasteland and The Hollow Men and Gerontion and many others. Near the end of his career, over a period of several years, he wrote these poems, the last major poems he did, called Four Quartets, and there are four poems. So, the actor, Ralph Fiennes, went to work and actually memorizing these four poems is already quite a task because they're very abstract. They deal very largely with concepts of time and space, especially time. And anyway, he memorized them all, and then he put together a stage presentation, and he performed the four poems. That's it. He is just reciting the four poems on the stage. That was the stage show that he did. And it was a hit in intellectual circles, and he toured, and he performed it many times. And now it has been made into a movie. And the director of the movie is Sophie Fiennes. Yes, she is his sister. Ralph Fiennes and the actor Joseph Fiennes and Sophie Fiennes are all members of a family. There are other siblings as well. And she is, you know, a pretty major documentary director. The films of hers that I'm most familiar with are movies made with the philosopher Slavoj Žižek, one called The Pervert's Guide to Cinema, and another one called The Pervert's Guide to Ideology. They're not perverted movies, but the philosopher Žižek has a kind of a wicked sense of humor, and so those are the titles of the movies, and those are pretty lively movies, all full of all kinds of visuals, as well as Žižek talking away. In this case, however, we just have Ralph Fiennes talking away. Now, Ralph Fiennes is a really good actor. I can't count the number of movies I've seen him in. Within the past year or so, I saw him on the stage in New York doing a play, starring in a play by David Hare called Straight Line Crazy, about the infamous, to some, celebrated for others, a city planner, Robert Moses. It was really, really good, and Ralph Fiennes was really excellent in it, so I know from experience he's a very fine stage actor. In this case, however, we are seeing Sophie Fiennes' movie of the stage production or presentation, which Ralph Fiennes himself directed for the stage. Now, I said a moment ago that Ralph Fiennes recites the four poems, Four Quartets, by T.S. Eliot. To say recite is really to underplay it. He hops around sometimes. Sometimes he sits and he does recite very solemnly. Other times he gets extremely animated. He moves around. He moves his whole body. Certainly he has expressive face, facial moves from time to time. So it's not just a movie of somebody sitting in a chair reciting these poems. He does a very expressive and actively actorly recitation or presentation of these poems. And every once in a while, yeah, there are some shots to the outside world which sort of give us a little sense maybe of what T.S. Eliot's England was like. That's where he was when he wrote all these poems. The four quartets are, they just pop up in my life from time to time. I want to quote a little bit from near the end of the fourth of the poems because it's really, really important. Eliot writes, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time." That is quoted so often that I've gotten tired of hearing it. I think that a lot of times people who are involved in writing serious literature or some such thing want to inject some T.S. Eliot because of his deservedly place at the top of English literature in the 20th century. But I've just gotten kind of tired of that. However, I have to say, watching Sophie Fiennes' movie of Ralph Fiennes' recitation of the four poems, when it got around to that, I thought it was just fine. Ralph Fiennes made it new for me. So if you're interested in poetry, if you're interested in really an amazing feat of acting, if you're interested in a pretty successful job of transposing stage performance to the movie screen, definitely check out T.S. Eliot's Four Quartets. It's a specialized movie. Not everybody's going to go for it. But again, if you're interested in poetry or 20th century literature or T.S. Eliot, it is not a movie to miss. And our final movie today, one more documentary called Clean. Very simple title. An Australian movie directed by Lachlan McLeod. And the star of it is very much a woman named Sandra Pankhurst. And she is a remarkable woman. And this movie is about this business that she started quite a number of years ago in Melbourne, Australia, called Specialized Trauma Cleaning. And that tells you what her business was. She died, unfortunately, a couple of years ago. The business may still be going on. She's no longer running it. But that is what they did. She started out as just one person with a van, and then she built it up into this great big business. They got a great big headquarters and a big building and a great big staff and all of that. And what they do is any kind of trauma that has left any kind of mess, including the most horrifying kinds of human messes after murders or explosions or things like that. If you are in Australia, you can hire Sandra Pankhurst's company, Specialized Trauma Cleaning, and they will come in and they will know how to clean it up. They have the expertise, they have the skill, they have the chemicals. They also have the very important know-how to protect themselves. One of the facts that you learn about Sandra Pankhurst very early in this movie is that her lungs are a mess. She has a really bad, her body is not in good shape. And she says that was because she didn't know when she started this business how to protect herself against the horrifying things, chemical things and human wastes and things like that, that she would come up against. So now she always made sure that her staff had the know-how and all of that. So that's what the movie is largely about. It's largely about her starting and building this business called Specialized Trauma Cleaning Services, and how they have this very unusual line of business that they do, and a very important line of business. It's nice to know that they were out there in the world. But a little way into the movie, and this is a little bit of a spoiler, but I got to reveal it, we discover something really interesting about Sandra Pankhurst, who is really the main character of this movie and appears in just about every frame of it. Well, every shot, every scene. She turns out to be transsexual. And she turns out transgender, I should say. It turns out that for a long time, she was a man. And she had a couple of kids and all of that, but she was never happy. And she always knew that she really should become a woman. And then she went ahead and she had that done and she became a woman and she's lived very happily as a woman ever since. But that's another factor in her biography. And it's important in this movie too, because eventually when she couldn't really handle the physical work of the daily running and participating in the business, she became a motivational speaker. And she spoke about a lot of things, about building businesses and having confidence in yourself, and above all, about the need for gender rights and transgender rights, and all that sort of hugely important important thing. So that became a very important aspect of her activity as a public person and as a professional person. So you have a documentary which covers a lot of ground in dealing mainly with one woman. It deals with her deciding to get into this and build this business in this very unusual line of cleaning up after horrible human traumas. And then it gets into her life as a transgender woman and how that came about. And she was enormously successful in both of these areas, the public part of her life and the private part of her life. And then the private part of her life became public when she became a motivational speaker. So it's a very entertaining movie. She is an entertaining character to spend about an hour and a half with. And I had a good time watching the movie. And I learned some things, especially about the trauma cleaning business, things that wouldn't come up in most of our lives. At least I hope not. So clean, good, entertaining documentary, offbeat subject, not too many horrifying things to look at, and I really did enjoy it. It's a good movie experience. And so that is my somewhat diversified story this week.
For which we thank you, as always and ever, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films The Blackening, T.S. Eliot's Four Quartets, and Clean.